radio show, BBS Radio, Radio Free America. And yeah, we have to free America from the evil controls of the New World Order. Hey, if you were just listening to the last show, and I just have to comment on this, this is your host, Tom Edison. I claim to be the most opinionated person in the galaxy, not just planet Earth, in the galaxy. I've got something to say about everything because I have a little knowledge about everything or almost everything. Nobody knows everything except God. Hey, it's Easter Sunday. At least in New York City, it's Easter Sunday. And that's an important thing to a lot of people. Hey, it marks the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. After being crucified on Friday, and why did they call that Good Friday? It wasn't a good day at all. I have to blame the Catholic Church for that. Of course, they were set up and put in place by the Romans, which were an evil organization, false god worshiping, promoter of violence, the Romans. Yeah, no. This past Friday when Jesus was crucified, no, it was not a good day, and they should stop saying that. Oh, man. And we should start painting pictures of the light being Jesus that went into the heavenly realms. The same light being that was witnessed at the Transfiguration, if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. We'll look it up, the Transfiguration. Anyhow, the last show that I mentioned about water and they were talking about somebody's great invention, and then they started to get on to, right at the end of the show, about ozone and oxygen. Regardless of what they say about ozone being good, it's probably good for plants, but for human beings, no. There's such a thing called, if you know your basic science, it's called free radicals. Oxygen, sometimes chemically written as O3 or something like that. You have that extra oxygen molecule hooked onto a water, you know, like H2O is balanced, okay? O3 is not balanced, and you have an extra oxygen molecule floating around. And that creates free radicals in your body. Not good, not healthy. If you ever been around in a water bottling plant and in the room where they ozonate the water, the ozone, the ozonation process puts these foul-smelling ozone particles in the air. And if you stay around too long, it's going to make you almost sick. So, you got to be real careful when you're working with oxygen, and you got to have an understanding. Anything that creates free radicals, which can cause chaos, you know, it's like a bouncing tennis ball that goes banging, wanging all around. It doesn't hook onto anything. It just keeps smashing into things. That causes problems inside your body. Well, give yourself an education. Look it up. Free radicals in the human body. In fact, that's why many of us take vitamins, because vitamins, something like vitamin C, it's a free radical scavenger. It eats them up. And there's other vitamins, too, that are free radical scavengers. And that's one of the best reasons to take vitamins, because there's always free radicals, these overexcited bouncing tennis balls happening inside your body, and your body has to capture them before they break some more glass windows, so to speak. If you can imagine a bouncing baseball in a glass house, glass rooms, glass ceilings, glass walls, glass floors, and wherever it hits, it's breaking things. Well, that's what free radicals do. Google it. Look it up. Educate yourself. And understand anything that creates free radicals is not good for your body. Well, let's just move on. What can I say? There's craziness going on in the Dome on the Rock, as it's called, over in Israel. Yeah, the holy site for both one religion and another religion. Once you look that up, and you'll find out which religions I'm talking about. But it's also familiarly called the Dome on the Rock. And they're fighting over for use of the Dome on the Rock because the Islamic religion is having a holiday, Christian religion is having a holiday, the Jewish religion is having a holiday, and Madonna is having a holiday. She's singing about it. Anyhow, it's a lot of anger and chaos and violence happening over there right now because of this. And it's all revolved around that building, the Dome of the Rock. It's got a big gold dome on it. It has a historical history to it. I'm not going to get into that. But hey, this is a call-in radio show. If you want to enlighten us about the Dome on the Rock, hey, the number is 888-627-6008. Or you could call in if you're from not in the U.S. or Canada. You can call in the other call-in number by dialing, you know, the first, whatever code numbers you have to do from your country to get into the United States. And then the number here in the regular number in the U.S. is 323-744-4831. Anybody over in Jerusalem neighborhood there? Over by the Dome and the Rock, if you're listening to this show, hey, call in. Sarah probably cost you little money calling into 323-744-4831. The toll-free number is only for those of us in the U.S. and Canada. Yeah. That's where the show is coming out of right now, New York City. And it is Easter Sunday. And it's the Big Apple, except New York City has its problems nowadays. What can I say? Yep, it has a host of problems, and it was visited this past week by none other than Donald Trump, the Trumpster himself. And he had to go to court and get fingerprinted and all that. And, of course, that case, the next move on that case won't happen until December, the first week of December of this year. So that's a long way off. It was interesting how nothing else happened that day. You turn on the fake news media and a half hour of world news, and that was all they talked about, as if nothing else was happening. And it got boring after 5-10 minutes, maybe after 3 minutes, because there wasn't that much to talk about. He showed up in court. He opened the sealed envelope, 34 counts against him. His lawyers claim that, you know, he's pleading not guilty to everything, and they think this is the prosecution doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, as the saying goes. And so much for that. Now back to Jerusalem. you know, just for the record, I wrote a song a number of years ago. It's on my album, Songs Better Than Dylan. The name of the song is called Jerusalem. Now, if everybody over there in that town, I don't care what religion you're from, if they all listened to that song and followed the instructions in that song, they could bring about some peace. Forget about the governments, Israeli government, Palestinian government, as with any other, as with all other countries in the world, the government and the people that they are supposed to be serving are always two separate entities. Governments never serve the people. They waste the taxpayers' money. And it's true for the Israeli government, it's true for the Palestinian government, and neither of those governments will ever work a peace deal, because their allegiance, all governments at this point in time, are puppets of the New World Order, and they're going to make decisions based on the bribe money of the New World Order. That's where it's at. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again this week, and I'm going to continue saying this. Every country in the world now needs to have a new Declaration of Independence. And I say new because in America, we had our original Declaration of Independence to free us from the corrupt British government back in 1776, taxation without representation. Well, we've got the same problem here in America. Again, we've got taxation, more taxation, on top of more taxation, and we don't really have representation. Only the elite have representation. And it has nothing to do with taxes. It has to do with bribe money. You want your government, and that's how it is. It's pay to play. In fact, that's what that no good musky boy did with Twitter. Yeah, he ain't no good guy. I don't care what you say. He pretends to be a good guy, but he turned Twitter, it's pay to play. Hey, I'm on Twitter. And since they're charging money to get that elite status, less people are, you know, the machines will give me less, connect me with less people. He didn't change one thing to get rid of all the annoying things that the Twitter machines do to people. You know, constantly telling you don't bother to say anything because we're going to discard it before you get done tweeting it. I mean, really? How rude can you be? Of course, these are damn machines we're having an argument in, but who are the evil so-and-sos who programmed these machines to do this? Whomever they are, Elon and his boys haven't removed the roadblocks to free speech. And they've turned us all into second citizens, second citizen tweeters, those of us that are not willing to play along with the pay-to-play scheme that Twitter now has. If you want your tweets to be seen by more people, you have to pay for that now. That's it, yeah. And it's sad, but there's another venue being destroyed by people with money. You know, Mr. Musk doesn't need your extra money, but he's turned Twitter in a pay-to-play format now, which is ruining free speech in the sense that, yeah, you can say, you know, within reason what you want, but no one's going to get to hear you because the machines are only going to post your comments to a few people and you'll be limited to a small audience. Yeah, I got, 750 followers or whatever. But they don't get, all 750 don't get to hear what I have to say when I say something on Twitter. Maybe a dozen That's the way the machines are set up to work, and some people only don't even get a dozen people listening to them. Some people only get maybe three or four people listening to them. And I'm sure there's people out there that the machines don't even bother with. No one gets to listen to them, what they have to say. And that's, you know, what's the point of having thousands of followers and only a dozen people get to see your tweets? What's the point? Of course, if you pay to play to get the blue check mark, you know, then more people will get to see your posting, your 2 cents. But that's a sad story that's out there. And it's not going to change until the benevolent ETs land. The good guys, the Galactic Confederation. Yeah, there is no one's has had the the guts to answer me on the many times I've asked that on Twitter. What's the difference between, you know? But they are between Galactic Federation, Galactic Confederation, and Galactic Federation of Light. What's the difference? Are they all the same? Are they two imposters? Are they all imposters? No one has directly answered that question. So what are we to think? But people are coming out, and they're saying, don't trust this group. Don't trust that group. And one of the groups, Galactic Federation, is being listed as the bad guys now. Uh-huh. And that woman who claims to be ambassador of the Galactic Federation, Aurora Ray, you know, I've listened to her. I get the notifications from the group she's supposedly representing. And she's another deceiver, apparently. No surprise. And I've called her out on Twitter when she was making, somebody was posting comments, apparently, and it came via her info. And I said, no, that's a red flag, you know. She went overboard trying to convince people. So what are we all to believe here? Is there any, can we believe any of these so-called representatives? Well, there's Christos Avatar. Yeah, he has his www.christosavatar site where he's got a lot of videos up there. I mean, he talks an interesting game. He has an entertaining personality. And he's says he's with the Guardians. They're supposedly typically the good guys. They seem to be. Nobody has called them out as the bad guys yet. And he also mentions the Galactic Federation. They're no good because they're with the bad Anunnaki. I don't know. Is there a benevolent Galactic Federation and a negative Galactic Federation? I don't like that word, malevolent. It doesn't really ring the bell of being negative in your head. It'd be much more sense to say the negative ETs or the positive ETs, the love-embracing ETs. We understand that's good ETs, and that we understand what negative ETs. If you're using these two words, benevolent and malevolent, which the first four letters of the word spell male. Ooh, that's racist, or no, that's sexist, or something like that. I think we should stop using those words because they don't really get home the idea, the concept, the main concept. We understand negative is no good when it comes to personalities and behavior, and we understand positive is good. We could say friendly, we understand that. Loving is good. God loving, God serving, as opposed to anti-God negative. So the type of words we use to describe things have a lot to say about how it will be comprehended. I've always been an advocate. The more simpler the language you can use, the more people you're going to connect with. It's really that simple. Common sense goes a long way. Yeah. People that use fancy words end up isolating themselves because people don't understand what you're talking about. And if you know anything about human nature, we, the people, we're lazy. We're earthlings. We are lazy. And we're not going to reach for a dictionary, assuming we have one. Many of us don't. And maybe we don't want to, and we're so lazy we don't want to even Google it to find out what the word means, nor we're doing it, we know how to spell it. Machines try to help us sometimes with those factors, but that's it. People, if you're somebody lecturing out there and you're talking this and that and this and that, and you start using words that 99% of the population don't understand what you're talking about, we're just going to let it ride by and ignore what you said because we couldn't comprehend it, and we'll try to grasp what we can. And that's how human beings are. You know? Let's talk about who we really are and how we really are. We're lazy to a certain extent. And that's the way it is. So it's important when you're talking to speak clearly and use the most simplified language you can find. That's why rock and roll became so popular, you know. They weren't using any fancy words when it started, you know. It was easy to comprehend what was being said. Even the world-famous Beatles, the greatest entertaining group of all time, didn't use overcomplicated words in their songs. Just about every lyric they ever wrote was an easy-to-understand word. You know, they were singing Chuck Berry language, you know, simplified and to the point. And they knew how to articulate their words, too, better than most groups. And these are important things to keep in mind. And while we're talking Beatles, hey, it's on YouTube. I'm quite proud of the thing I put together, but I put together for people to make people aware of how great the Beatles were. And I'm just saying, it's on YouTube. Beatlemania in America. Three words. Beatlemania in America. It's out there on YouTube. Check it out. It's 10 minutes long, but I guarantee you'll probably learn a few things about the Beatles that you didn't know, and you'll get to see, I've captured some of the Beatlemania of the fans going crazy. And there's a bit, short bit about Shea Stadium in it also, which I claim to be was probably the greatest moment in the history of the human race happened at Shea Stadium on August 15th, 1965. There was so much love from the fans, and so much love being projected from the Beatles. But it was really the fans, the large amount of fans projecting love, they were causing the air to sizzle. That's right, sizzle louder than bacon on a grill. The whole stadium was sizzling. Every molecule of air was sizzling with electricity. So loud you couldn't help but hear it. But that's something that never gets talked about, but should be talked about. And that's why I classified that moment in time as probably the greatest moment in the history of the human race, where so much love was projected, it caused every molecule of air to sizzle in ecstasy, excitement, So hopefully I've captured some of that in my 10-minute video. I call it a documentary on YouTube there. Check it out. You might learn something. You will be entertained, though. Anyhow, moving right along, there needs to be a revolution, yeah, and we're not talking about a record revolving around a record player. That's a revolution, you know. Hey, that's a revolver. Wow, that's a double play on words, too. But, you know, the people in every country in the world need to get up and declare their independence from their evil government, because every government in the world is evil, including the U.S. government right now. And the U.S. government's been evil for quite some time, and most of the other governments in the world have been, too. Was there ever an unevil government? Probably never. We like to think of the United States as being an unevil government, but it probably it wasn't one for too long. You know, if you know your American history, shortly after the Declaration of Independence was declared, and the government was set up in Philadelphia, it didn't take long before the citizens of Philadelphia got so outraged at the bad behavior of their newly elected federal government, the United States of America, which was only 13 colonies becoming states. The people in Philadelphia, in a very short amount of time, got so angry at their government not doing what they expected of them, they ran them out of town. You could do that back in 1700s. You could run your government out of town and get away with it. And the U.S. government ran out of Philadelphia, ran over to New Jersey, ran up to Trenton, ran up to Princeton, and eventually they had to run all the way back up to New York City. That's it, which was the second location of the U.S. government. In fact, George Washington was inaugurated as the first president in New York City. There's a big statue of him right across the street from the stock market. And I don't know, was that a prelude to what was going to America was going to become? But anyhow, the statue's there, right, in downtown Manhattan. And then eventually they decided to set up a more permanent government in land taken from Maryland and Virginia, two states, and they were going to call it the District of Columbia. You know, Columbia was another name for the United States back at that time. In case you didn't know that, it wasn't Columbia Pictures they were naming it after. It didn't exist at that time. No, they weren't naming it after Columbus either. But, hey, it's calling radio show. If I said something incorrectly, call up and tell us. I like to be correct, but I can make a mistake now and then, too. Anyhow, so, you know, most people don't realize that the city of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, is not a state. It's a separate entity. And its shape, its original outline, was like a square standing on its point, you know, which, and it was purposely laid out. Each, the boundary of this square was perfectly laid out to be 45 degrees out of kilter with the cardinal directions. Now, I talk about that for quite a bit. if you study the dark side, and it's important to know your enemy, that is a mark of the false gods. Setting something up 45 degrees out of kilter with the cardinal directions. If you know your knowledge about how the universe operates, there are cardinal directions, and they're set up by living creatures. Where did I get that information? Well, hey, why don't you go looking for the fifth apocryphal revelation? Anyhow, you seek and you'll find. But that's how it works. You know, we're living in a universe. It's a living universe. And, of course, it's been hijacked by the dark side. Right now, there's people out there trying to educate humanity about a 15-dimensional system. And with five different density groupings, you know, when we talk about density, we're talking about, you know, something solid that's dense. Okay, there's the first grouping, which takes care of, the groupings are all in three, first three dimensions. There's the second grouping, fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension, second grouping of density. And it goes up by counts of three, you know, seven, eight, nine, less dense. Matter is taking on a different shape. It's not carbon-based anymore. And then there's 10, 11, 12. And up until recently, that's all people would ever would talk about, the 12 dimensions and the 12 overtones of each dimension, as they're called, which creates 144 possibilities that could possibly exist in the same space, if you wanted to prove a point, I guess. But 12 times 12, 144, how gross, so to speak. Play on words, yeah. And then they also talk, you know, this 15-dimensional model, they're talking about the dimensions above the 12 basic dimensions, and 13, 14, and 15. And they say this is where the existence of the three founder races are. It sounds like something out of Star Trek, right? Well, science fiction has always been cluing us into hidden realities, but in the Star Trek episodes, there's only one founder race. Of course, if you have a true understanding of the universe, there's even more than three founder races, but basically, that's the general outlook of the system we're included in. And the info being told now is that some of those beings in 13, 14, and 15, and 12, the rebelled against the system they were in. They weren't happy for some reason, or just decided they wanted to experiment. Why would it be in an anti-God universe? And so they, as the story goes that I've heard through the some of the recent videos I've been watching, the Stargate that connects the 12th dimension to the 11th dimension was blown up, and they separated themselves from the higher reality of the founder races and the higher reality of what exists in the cosmos beyond this 15-dimensional system that we are in. There's probably many different dimensional systems out there. You know, when we talk about things like this, we're talking about our section of the universe. There's many universes in the all-encompassing big universe, and what's outside the universe. Most people don't realize it, that the single source of all there is, the Heavenly Father, who made himself into a trinity, all in one, one for all, referred to as God, exists on this place called Paradise, the Isle of Paradise. It's not connected to any of the universes or realities that we're living in, existing in, exploring. It's completely isolated from everything that exists. The only connection it has is the power of the thinking and thoughts that set into motion creation. And it all started on the Isle of Paradise with the Trinity. You know, for those of you who are not informed about it, the single source of all there is didn't have a name. But when he, and he is the term used because the word he was invented before the word she was invented. When the word he and him, some people call these pronouns, were invented as forms of language to express things and identify things, there was no opposite of it. All were referred to as he or him. There was no sexual or gender difference. That came later, much, much later. In the beginning, there were only spirit beings being created when the Trinity began to create. That's it. So the single source of all there is, God did not create the universe with a single identity. He, and he is the correct term, has nothing to do with sex, gender, or anything like that. When God, when he, became, who was nameless, all-powerful, omnipotent, decided to do creation, the first two creations he did was create the eternal Son and the infinite Spirit, and thereby identifying himself as the Heavenly Father, because he fathered the other two parts of the Trinity, and the other two parts are him. He just diversified the areas in which each one of those of his now threefold personality would deal with certain aspects once the creation process was started. And if you take three, and there was the permutations of three, the most amount of possibilities is seven. That's where the importance of seven comes into the equation. So anything of three or seven, when we start identifying things by numbers, is any combination of three or seven has a connection to the original source of creation, the Isle of Paradise, under the threefold personality of God himself. But the single source who started it all is the Heavenly Father. And I'm talking about it because this is Easter Sunday, and Jesus constantly referred to God as the Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father too. And if you know, have the inside information on some of the stuff, it's the Heavenly Father who gives you your personality. You know, and you might have chosen to come to earth, you know, but the you that chose to come to earth, your choice, you're doing with a personality that was given to you by the Heavenly Father, you know? Pure consciousness, God, the Heavenly Father, pure consciousness does not have form, but all-powerful and as can hook into anything, you know? And, but he allows things to happen, and he created other beings to do the details. And some say we're an extension, all an extension of the Heavenly Father or the Trinity or God on paradise. If you have a problem with understanding God is a threefold personality, well, you're the one with the problem. It's not that difficult. you know, three, one, two, three, all for one, one for all. And if you don't understand what the word permutations mean, the number of possibilities that you can combine three with is seven, you know? And then we talk about geometry. You know, seven is a magical number that you can use in identification of geometric shapes, the basic shape that connects just about everything is the hexagon, you know, 6 points with a point in the center. And it can be expanded, if you expand each of the sides into a triangle, you have the six-pointed star, the Star of David. And that's also representative of the two spinning tetrahedrons. Yeah, find out what a tetrahedron is. But anyhow, here's a point of topic that you can debate with your mathematical friends. You know, my conclusion is that, you know, scientists always say that mathematics, numbers, you know, was part of the first creation. Well, I say it was geometry. Numbers were invented to identify geometry. If you're the all-powerful creator, think it, and it comes into being. And you thought ahead that you would need shapes like tetrahedrons and spheres. And, you know, the Platonic solids. And you just thought about what they would look like and how they would connect and combine. And you didn't have to quantify it or identify it. That is, those kind of things are for the other beings that were created that would look into those matters, quantifying and correlating and connecting, like connect the dots, you know? Hey, if you haven't read my book or picked up a copy of it yet, you need to. It's an education in one night, guaranteed. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you're an E.T., even a good E.T. from another galaxy here to help rescue the people of planet Earth. I guarantee if you read that book of mine, Connect the Dots Theory, you will learn a few things that you didn't know. I don't care how smart you are, you know, because that's how much grand information is in that book, Connect the Dots Theory. Plus, I have the pictures to prove the existence of things that are invisible and that the camera can pick up, but our normal senses can't. And I have pictures of the other things that can extend out of the sky, and I have drawings of them for times when I didn't have a camera. And these things are real. I have the drawing of the Earth. You know, I'm sitting around a campfire. I'm feeling the pulsations coming out of the Earth, and the fire was connected to points of sparkling points of light coming out of the sky, and it was drumming at the circle, and the Earth was vibrating. And you could feel the pulses coming in concentric waves underneath the ground. You could actually feel them. And I tell a story about that and many other amazing stories. You know, for your people that are too cheap to spend $5 to get download a copy of it, whatever, you know, you can see, I think, about 40 pages for free. Just Google it, Connect the Dots Theory, and over on the side of the page, there'll be I think it's 40 or 41 pages of the preface and the first chapter there for you to look at freely. maybe one or two pictures in there. Most of the pictures are in the other chapters. And it's worth buying or downloading the book just for the pictures alone. I've got pictures in this book that no one else on earth has ever put out there. If you don't have an interest in something that phenomenal, I don't know. What's wrong with you? You know? Hey, don't buy the book. Don't read the 40 pages, okay? But you're only cheating yourself, you know? And what we're talking about, don't watch. Man, I was in the diner the other day. We have these things called diners in America. You know, you drive up with your car. They serve all kinds of food. Some of them are open 24 hours. And I'm in there eating, and they all the diners now, they got TV screens all over them, you know. Diners didn't used to have TV screens, but now they all have TV screens, many of them in diners. And I was watching, they put on a different channel than the ones they normally have, something called Vivo. Mostly heavy metal videos, but I also saw an extremely evil cartoon. I don't want to even talk about it. It was that evil. And this is the kind of crap that they're brainwashing people with. And nobody's even complaining about it. Well, I'm complaining about it right now. And if you have any knowledge of how to contact these people, you know, instead of going around calling people racist, why don't you go harass these people who are allowing these evil cartoons showing horrible things happening? Yeah, on this channel Vivo, where they're getting the attention of people that want to watch heavy metal videos. And all the videos contain violence, you know? What a bad recipe. You know, you wonder why people are out there doing bad things in this world. Well, that's part of it. They're watching crap like that that's out there. You know? And why does everybody want to make videos? Well, not everybody, but all these heavy metal people want to make videos showing violence and nothing nice in any of them. You know? What's the point? Who are you serving by doing that? You know? I mean, it needs to stop. Really, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. You know, where's the what's the word for it? Whatever it is. Where's the ethics here? Where's the someone paying attention to what's going on and not and making a fuss? Let's not allow this to happen. Because, you know, this is like any child can get to watch this stuff. And we're talking about cartoons promoting doing evil. It's not right. It shouldn't be out there. And nobody's complaining about it. Well, I just have one to complain about it. You don't believe me? Check out what's going happening on Vivo right now. Maybe you'll run across that evil cartoon. I mean, it's beyond satanic. That's how evil it is. And I just had to say that. So, hey, it's Easter Sunday. Be happy. Jesus proved that you could defeat death, the so-called death. Of course, there is no real death. If you're smart enough to understand that, there's just an end of the existence of the physical realm where you have to, like, go to sleep. And as the information I've come across, and like your last breath and sight in this world, if you do leave this world by that thing they call death, your body ceases to function, 1 second later, in your mind, you'll be in the heavenly realms, and your life will be being reviewed. And, of course, there's all kinds of traps that people are talking about now. The dark side has the negative ETs have set up traps. So then when you do finally close your eyes to this physical realm, they have traps set up to deceive you, to go in the wrong direction instead of just going back to your higher self where you came from. They trick you into signing up for another lifetime as a brainwashed fool. Suffer through another life in this physical world ruled by the evil dark side. And I can't wait. I've said it before, the event is coming. We've been promised the event. There's going to be a surcharge of energy coming across our planet, and supposedly it's going to turn us all into crystalline beings. There'll be a recrystallization of all matter in the face of the planet. And it'll happen in a blink of an eye, as they say. And we can't wait for this to happen because we're tired of being in a world that's being ruined by negative ETs, bad ETs. I want to make it clear. Yeah, they're bad, they're evil, they're anti-God, and they're NFJ. Look it up. But as I speak, people are going about their lives. Not too many are changing their ways. People want like the security of holding on to the past, they will be cheating themselves out of the future that is promised us, and it's going to be happening in a very short amount of time. We've got these guys, the resistance movement, supposedly knocking out the bad guys, doing the hard work for us that we would never do for ourselves because we're too damn lazy, let's face it. But we still can do our part by projecting love, because that's how it works. Love is a high vibration. The more high vibrations we put into this world, the more difficult it is for the dark side to exist here. Some of them are left already because they don't want to be in a world of goodness. They want to be in a negative world where they can control us and abuse us and drink our blood. Those no good so-and-sos. But that's it. You know, tomorrow when you go out, be happy. Be grateful that you're alive. Say hello to people. Be kind. Do unto others as you would like them to do to you. That's the golden rule. If we all followed that rule, we wouldn't need any other laws. You know, we'd all be considerate. Of course, such notions and ways of acting have to be taught to the youth and young people when they're young. Instead of just getting them to follow orders, we need to get them to think, to show compassion, to be kind, to share, to be loving, and to be grateful, to meditate, to pray, to walk barefoot on the grass, to be connected to Mother Earth, to walk barefoot on the beach. You know, we're walking around our whole lives with shoes on. We're isolating ourselves from Mother Earth in so many different ways. You know, it's not total isolation, but we'd have a better connection if we were all walking around barefoot. Keep that in mind. Hey, summer's coming. That's why people like to go to the beach. They actually feel better because they're walking around barefoot, touching Mother Earth, and the waves are crashing, creating more oxygen molecules, more ions that are good and healthy for the body. Well, Hey, we're coming to the end of the show. You know, it ends with my music all the time. You know, I got two albums out there. You can find them on YouTube. American Party Songs and Songs Better Than Dylan, care of CD Baby. And CD Baby will sell you any one of my songs for 99 cents, which I get 90 cents. And I could use, you know, some appreciation for the shows I do. And I have philosophical songs out there. I got fun songs. Check them out. 35 original songs on two albums. Find some love in your heart to purchase one. I know you're going to like at least one of them, because I got a lot of great songs out there. Out of the 35, and as I mentioned earlier, the song Jerusalem, there's the solution right there for all that fighting over in Israel. People just listened to it and attempted to respond to the message in that song, Jerusalem. Check it out. Buy it. Play it for your friends who are fighting over things going on in Israel. Maybe they'll get the message. So you're going to get here the end of my song, Are You the Party in Time, followed by my anthem, I Gotta Be Somebody. It's the first song of my album, Songs Better Than Dylan. That's it. It's my anthem, I Got to Be Somebody. It could be your anthem, too. Okay, hey, tell your friends to tune in next week. Hey, it was a call-in radio show. I guess everyone left their phone home tonight. And or had their phone turned off. Whatever. Or were too lazy to pick up their phone. Whatever. And it doesn't matter. Hey, you can call in next week. Okay, Mr. Engineer, take us out of here now. 5-4-3-2-1-0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Wanna know I was here, took my stand. Without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join till I'm in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Without fear.